Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Merlot Show. And I am Melinda.
And I'm Marcella.
And I'm in Cross Plains, Tennessee, and my snow has not thawed all the way out yet. I probably, and there, we have drifts of snow that are probably 4 or 5 inches. And then there's some places that's melted, you know, a few places in our yard.
Wow. Well, I'm in Lewisburg, Tennessee, and my yard is completely bare. All snow, ice, everything is gone. But, you know, I took our great niece home today, and up on their little hill, they still had little drifts of snow up there, but it wasn't a whole lot. And most of our roads are clear.
I've been kind of stuck at home, so I thought everywhere in this area was, like, covered in snow like we are. And so when we took Abby, granddaughter, home today, I looked around and I'm like, there's yards that are just totally thawed out and, you know, the snow's all gone. Yeah.
So it's just you.
Yeah. And that's like, you know, this whole system of this weather system, not just a system, but the whole weather system sucks. We're on the wrong subject, aren't we?
I think so, but this weather, it does suck. I'll give you that. It's terrible. But, you know, by, I think Sunday is supposed to be up in the 60s and maybe 70s.
Oh, yeah. Good, good. I'm ready for it.
Me too.
I'm not much
I
for
can't
this
stand
cold
this.
Weather. Mm-hmm.
We're getting too old. Our bones crackle now. So what's our show really about tonight?
I think it's about the justice system, how it sucks. And what I think, actually what brought it up is that we were talking earlier this week. I was watching ABC News, and they were talking about this guy who is in federal prison for 55 years. For selling
55.
Marijuana.
I thought you meant 35, but 55.
No,
55. Oh, my God.
55 years in federal prison.
Wow.
He was only 24 years old when he was sentenced, and he had small little boys. He had two little boys that he was raising at the time, and he actually, this guy that was arrested, and he's not the only one that this has happened to, but this particular guy, they were interviewing his family. His two little boys were, I don't know, three or four years old, I think, at the time, or maybe one or 2 years old. I don't know, but they were very young. But he was a music producer, and he had actually worked and collaborated with Snoop Dogg. And I'm guessing, I think he was living in Salt Lake City. This guy was.
Yeah.
And because of the law that was passed.
94?
Yeah, I think so. That they were cracking down on marijuana use. They sentenced him to 55 years. And let me retract a little bit, because he did have a gun on him. He did not use it, and I think it was like, and I don't know exactly where it was at, but it was anywhere that he was going to be grabbing the gun or anything else. They found it probably in his possession somewhere, either in his house when they busted him or in his car somewhere. But anyway.
Well, what did they bust him with? I mean, how much did he have that they got him
for
that?
They said it was a very small amount of marijuana.
I've been looking on the federal guidelines. And, wow, the only one I can find even, you know, the closest was life for importing and exporting drugs on a second and subsequent offense, unlawful import and export, death or serious bodily injuries result. That's the only way you get life, and the rest of them was like 20 years.
No,
but this is minimal.
This was minimal.
This
is- They actually interviewed the judge that sentenced this guy, Mm-hmm. And they, that judge was saying that he didn't, he hated that he had to give this guy 55 years. But by law, because it was the, it was a, you know, imposed on him that he had to do it. That he had to, he had to give him 55 years, and this is with no possibility of parole.
I remember when you were telling me this. I just watched a program on ID Discovery Channel, and this guy had actually, he's the one that killed his wife. He didn't actually do the physical labor, but he had another guy kill his wife, and they were in it together.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got him, they finally caught him. They, when they prosecuted him, he got 25 years, and the guy who actually did the killing only got 20 years. Now, how does that, you know,
equate to having the little marijuana on you? I know, that does not make sense. And they say it in this interview, and like I said, it was on ABC, I think it aired a couple of weeks ago. There are like 210, over 210,000 prisoners like this guy that they interviewed that are serving decades behind bars for nonviolent crimes like this.
It's ridiculous because most person that is convicted on the ID channel that I watch, because, you know, I am an avid viewer, nobody ever gets over 25 years. And they, I mean, it would be easier if you killed somebody. You wouldn't get as much time.
They said if he had been an aircraft hijacker, he would have gotten 24 years for prison. In other words, if he had been hijacked an airplane, he
that's
would have gotten 24 years.
That's right. I'm looking at the thing right now, and that's exactly what it says.
Yeah, and if he'd been a terrorist,
what would happen then?
He would have gotten 20 years in prison.
For being a terrorist, you only get 20 years?
That's what this is what this is written on their article on ABC.
Oh, my gosh.
20 years.
Gosh.
And
that's,
I'm sure it depends on what type of terrorist it is and whatever. But if he was a child rapist, up to 11 years. What's wrong with that picture here? I mean, why not give a life sentence to somebody that is a violent person, like a child rapist?
Especially one that's committed a crime over and over, which usually they have. That's why they got that sex registry thing set up, because they know they're going to head again even after they let them out of jail. So they set up that registry thing where you can go and check your neighborhood, because they know they're going to head again. But they keep
letting
them out.
And the other thing about the people that they have in prison, like this guy that they interviewed that was in there for, you know, selling marijuana or had marijuana on him, it's going to cost the American, it's not just him, it didn't just affect him and his family and these little boys that are growing up, which are teenagers now, and one of them, I felt so sorry for him, he's, you know, tears come up in his eyes because you could tell that this guy was a good dad. I mean, he made a mistake, you know, and he shouldn't have done what he did. But, you know, he's missing out on their lives and it's affected their lives. But it's not only affecting them, but it will cost, they said, an estimate just for this one guy to be in prison, it will cost the American taxpayers $1.5 million by the time his sentence is
through. Okay, folks, y'all now know where all your tax dollars are going, because they're too stupid to know which ones to put in prison. And actually, I don't think they need to put a lot of them in prison. I think they ought to just go ahead and execute a lot of them. But, you know, that could be wrong, too. Because when I was
let those rapists that rape somebody, let them get raped in prison is the way I look at that.
Exactly.
You know?
And make them work. Don't be making their lives so easy for them. I mean, you know, make them work for what they're having to be in there for. It shouldn't cost so much money. I mean, you know me, I'm ready for a bargain. I want to save every penny I can. But dang. And there's people, though, that get convicted of different things that never did anything. I mean, they were found guilty by the, you know, and it was wrong. there was this guy in Texas, Wiley Fountain. He was in prison for 15 years for a rape that supposedly he committed in 1986. Well, excuse me. This paper got to examine his case, and he said the only reason he was convicted is because he happened to be wearing a dark baseball cap and a light-colored warm-up suit, similar to what the attacker wore. And
yeah.
So the police said, well, his description, it fits to a T. And the victim identified him, which everybody knows. You're in shock, and sometimes,
right.
You know, just having that same outfit on will probably go, yes, that's him, that's him.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
He had a hard time, but finally the DNA was tested in 2002 and found out it wasn't him at all.
You know, isn't that what they have, you know, you're like me. You watch the ID
yeah,
channel.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
It is amazing at the different cases that come out where they have evidence for, you know,
mm-hmm.
years, 20, even 30 years back where they've kept, you know, where they do those rape kits on victims, and it comes out years later where that
yeah.
DNA does not match up with that person that's in prison. And those poor people that are in prison have been wrongfully, you know.
Like this guy was in there for 15
convicted.
Years. When he got out, CNN reported on him in 2008 and said he's homeless just 5 years after walking out of prison, an innocent man. And then he's wandering around the streets of Dallas picking up, you know, cans to get money for. And every once in a while he'd earn a meal by cleaning the parking lot of a restaurant. And at night he didn't even have nowhere to go. And now they can't find him. They have no. He's 51 years old and he disappeared.
Really?
So he had all his hopes for a fresh start were just evaporated. And now he's disappeared. Nobody even knows where he's at. For a crime he did not even commit, because people, you know, they say, oh, you were convicted of that. But still, even after you're exonerated, they're just like, I don't know about that. And he probably should have went back on them and said, hey, listen, y'all put me in here now. Y'all help me get started again. And, hey,
can't
there was
they
a guy,
do that? Can't they sue back like
yes,
that? Or
they
can
really can. They really can.
Yeah.
Because there was another guy in and this was in Texas, too. I'm not picking on Texas, but his wife was killed. He came home, and he found his wife had been brutally murdered in their bed. And that wasn't even his nightmare. You would think, if you come in and you found your husband brutally murdered, you'd think that was the worst nightmare ever. But they ended up charging him and got a guilty verdict. And then he spent years and years just trying to get them, I mean, years, trying to get them to, you know, test a bandana. That
yeah.
Supposedly the criminal, finally, they finally tested it, and they said, no, it matches a criminal. He was a convicted felon in California, and they let him go. They finally let him go. But, man,
That
dude went into all kinds of crap. And then some of them, he was there. Another one in New Jersey, this one in Texas. When he got out, he was unemployed, trying to start over, and it took him 2 years to get restitution for his time in prison because he was in there for two decades. And he was trying to get, because he couldn't get a job, you know, he hadn't been out to be able to get one. And when they finally let him out, and it was for rape and murder.
And he didn't do it.
They proved it.
He didn't do it because of the DNA.
And it was DNA. Yep, DNA saved his butt. And the thing is, though, he didn't have any money to live on, and nobody would help him. But it took him 2 years, finally. He did get restitution.
I think they should just automatically, if they wrongfully put somebody behind prison, they should automatically say, hey, you get this amount of money. You were in there this amount of time, and this is what you could have earned, and plus for your your troubles.
Well,
because I'm gonna tell you, it's probably a lot of trouble to be in there in that prison. I mean, what if you were in there with some weirdos like that old Manson guy? Speaking of,
what?
He's getting married.
Yeah,
I'm sure
he's
you've
allowed
heard that.
To get married.
Yeah.
But that, see, now that's another thing. How did that happen? Somebody explain that to me. When you go to prison, isn't it punishment? Not
aren't
you
supposed to lose your rights?
Yeah. Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. He got married. He lost his rights.
he needs to be punished like the rest of us, huh? That are married.
Have her nagging on him every day. Okay, I got you now. He got extra punishment. They used to do solitaire. Now they let you get married. But really, though, how can they allow that?
They can have a wedding. They said they confirmed that he can have this wedding at the prison and can invite people from the outside the prison to perform. Somebody from outside the prison to perform the ceremony. Besides his spouse, he's allowed to invite 10 guests who are not inmates.
So we're paying for damn weddings in prison now.
Yeah, now the taxpayers are paying for Manson's wedding.
I want to know what
kind of
prison
we're getting
them.
That is screwed up.
Now, y'all don't feel, somebody call in and tell me that I'm wrong on saying our justice system sucks. The laws need to change, people. You know why they're like the way they are, don't you?
Well, yeah, wait a minute. Who's going to marry? I mean, who is so crazy and stupid? There's some weirdos out there that's going to marry this guy anyway. Is it attention? She's a really young girl, I think. Let's see if I can find her age. They don't mention it in this article, but I think I seen on the news where she was young. She must be really young.
Okay, what I want to know, all right, why would anybody agree to perform the ceremony?
To be on TV, maybe, or to get interviews, probably. Attention. What if people do stuff for attention, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
They're just plain stupid. Oh,
and
see, he can get married. Listen to this. He can get married, but anybody that's gay cannot get married. A productive life, anybody, they can't get married, but somebody that's in prison can. What's wrong with that picture? A lot.
For real. God.
I don't get it. Don't get it. Well, boy, I feel like we're on a preaching mode tonight. But if anybody wants to call in and preach with us, the number's 914-338-0788. We're on a bitchy mood tonight, I think.
We're down on the justice.
The weather's got us depressed. And
keep us holed up with snow and ice, and we'll come up with some of the craziest things to talk about. But, you know, I went in there looking too, and there are 6 reasons why the U.S. justice system is anything but just. Number one, threats necessitate plea bargains. In other countries like the U.K., the prosecution cannot threaten to pursue more aggressive charges if a suspect does not plead guilty. And you know they do it here all the time. It's standard practice. The idea behind our justice system is that everyone gets his or her day in court, but that's not how it usually plays out. For instance, maintaining your innocence is considered a dumb move. Like if you're sitting there going, but I didn't do it. I didn't do it. So they're going to turn around and tell you, well, okay, but if we go ahead and go to court, we can convict you. And it's going to be a whole lot worse for you because then you're going to get the maximum. So in most cases, people, even if they're innocent, will plead guilty.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people
take a lesser punishment.
Yeah.
And then the number two reason is unequal incarceration rates. Like in the U.S., African Americans are 6 times and Latinos are 3 times more likely to be incarcerated. Well, for one thing, they're drawing money. These prisons, that's the other thing I was, number three, it's for-profit prisons. Why does the U.S. have the world's highest incarceration rate? It's because in this country, you follow the money. Over the years,
so how can a prison make money just off of the government?
Well,
is that how they, I mean, they don't make money because they're not like a production company or anything.
Well, yeah.
How?
Over the years, prisons have gone from state-run to private enterprise.
That's my question. How can a private
enterprise
make money?
Gets money.
Do they like
off
pimp
the
out
government.
Guys and girls in there, or what?
Well, I'm sure in the girls, sometimes they do. I've seen a movie once where they did. But anyway, private enterprises are drawing government money for stuff. And the more bodies they got in jail, the more money they make.
It goes back to the government, though. The government still is the source of how they
rich people are busy seeing that more people are locked up. And they're getting people in there to make laws to get more people locked up. You're going to get more people on a drug charge than a murder charge. That's why they're doing it. Okay, number four, public defense is a joke. Those who can't afford a defense attorney are supposed to be given one. You know, if you can't afford one, one will be appointed to you. Whether it's documented, there is documented cases of people being offered an immediate plea deal when they go with one of those, you know, public defenders if they agree not to request cancel a lawyer, because poor lawyers who agree to serve as public defenders are underpaid and overworked and often lack the time and resources. So they're saying, hey, you're not going to get a good deal, so you might as well, if you just don't lawyer up, plea will give you a deal. And then number five, with pressures from the state to get convictions, prosecutors are forced to play a game where being on the winning side is more important than being on the right side. And somewhere in this process, the idea of finding justice is just plain lost. And prosecutors are presenting a fair case, not really a great one, to attempt to win at any cost, particularly when winning may mean potentially innocent people's freedoms at stake because it's looking good on their record and they might want to move up to be a judge or something. So it's all for their winning streak. And then there's the last one's number six, corrupted by campaign money, because legislators are not the only elected officials whose positions are compromised by, you know, getting campaign donations, because state judges who decide 95% of the country's court cases are subject to the same system. They are being, 38 states require that top judges run for office. And since voters generally knows little about the judicial candidates, the winner is usually the person who spends the most to get their name out there. This leaves judge beholden to private interest campaign financiers who lead a surge on the decisions in favor of corporations. Like if somebody's going up against a corporation, they're going to win, not the individual. Because that's the way it is. And in the 30 years since that war on drugs that was, you know, we were talking about earlier. The overly harsh mandatory minimum sentences imposed for low-level offenses were enacted. The prison population has exploded. It is time to eliminate the mandatory minimums and give judges more discretion in sentencing.
Yeah, that's what that one judge was saying on ABC that night, was that, I mean, he said his hands were tied. He had no choice because that was the law he had to go by.
All because they came up with that
stupid stuff. It's ridiculous. I thought that was the craziest thing I ever heard. Well, one of the craziest things. And, you know, it's not that our whole system is worse than anybody else's in the world because, I mean, like we said earlier, we stated a couple of times that we watched that ID channel. Well,
mm-hmm.
I've seen where there's places like one in particular is, I think it was one case where this woman had killed, I think, several people in her family. I think she got like 13 years in Australia. It seems like, I mean, I don't know their system as far as the court system or what their mandatory is if they kill somebody, but every one of those shows, it seems like if you live in Australia and you kill somebody, you don't go to prison that long. I hate to be saying this on the radio when other people might be listening from Australia.
Yeah, it's not, but
have you noticed
it's not long enough. Yeah, you're right. It's not very long. And some of the other countries that we have seen on there, they don't put very much. But to be honest, neither does the United States now. It's like they've changed. But
it's case by case, though.
Yeah, it depends on who it is. Yeah.
It depends if it's high profile. And
yeah,
one thing I can say about Tennessee, this is a recent case. It was that Vanderbilt case, that rape case. They stood up and said, hey, we're not going to stand for this anymore. Well, heck, they had evidence. I mean, it was video.
It was so much evidence
that if they didn't do something about that, then there would probably be a lot of stink.
Well, yeah.
But I'm glad that they did, do
well,
what
to be
right
honest,
now.
Mostly, and I will have to say for Tennessee's sake, I guess it's because the good old boys live down here. Like, if you mess with ours, you're going to get messed with. And so a lot of people go to prison, maybe unfairly, but it doesn't discriminate depending on your background or anything. I mean, hey, we had that Perry March, that lawyer.
Right.
We had to go to Mexico and drag his butt back, but we got him.
He thought he was beyond the law, too. I mean, he thought he was going to get away from that.
Well, he was a lawyer himself. He thought he had it made.
Yeah. I like it whenever they eventually, catch up with that smart ass that thinks he's going to get away with it. And they're guilty,
yeah.
I don't want them catching somebody. And that's the whole thing, if they're guilty, if they are guilty, they
and
need
if
to
the
be
crime,
punished.
The crime should fit the punishment, too. I mean,
fit the time, exactly.
Well, yeah. And that I understand because, whatever you do that's wrong, I think you should pay the price. But it shouldn't be so high that it can't be paid no matter what. That's just ridiculous about the boy with the marijuana. I mean, and he's got two young sons. I mean, was it his first offense? That's what I wanted to ask you.
It was. It was his first offense. He had never been in trouble with the law before. And he was, 24 years old. He had never been in trouble with the law. He had two young sons that he was taking care of. I don't know if his wife was dead or if she'd left or what, but he was raising those two boys. I mean, they showed videos of him with his young boys. You could tell he, had a bond with them at that age. And one of the things, a lot of times, young fathers, I'm not saying all, but there's some young fathers that don't take that responsibility.
Yeah.
And, hey, this guy was, maybe he had to make a little extra money on the side there, but,
What if the kids needed some tennis shoes? I mean, it ain't like he killed nobody or nothing.
I'm not even sure he was selling. I didn't look at that article that way. I just know that he was busted with some marijuana, and it wasn't, it was under $1,000 worth. And it would have fit. In a small baggie, and it was less than what would fit in a baggie, so a little one is what they were showing. And I hate that those little boys that are teenagers now don't have their dad. It was kind of heartbreaking for me, but
yeah,
we're out of time.
Oh, no. We ain't even got started yet. I didn't get to talk about what you ate for supper or nothing.
We'll save it for next week.
Okay, everybody. Join us next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.